Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Syndicated News, and I am Raymond F. Rivas, Chief Financial Editor. The name of my firm is Atherton Wealth Planning, and you can contact me on my email, raymondrivas.com. And you're listening to Syndicated News, and now our guest is Seth Sefloff. Seth, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Harry. It's actually Semeloff, but I'm here.
Semeloff.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. I've been reading a lot about your business, and my gosh, it's truly exciting.
Thank you for the opportunity to be able to be on your radio station and to be able to talk this evening with you.
Well, I'd like to hear about your magazine. Tell us a little bit about your magazine, Hot Living.
I mean, basically, my magazine was started out in Miami, Florida. We are a regional publication where we have a publication in Florida called Hope Living Florida, New York, Hope Living New York, Los Angeles, Hope Living Los Angeles, and we plan to launch in San Francisco this November. And also we're speaking to areas in London, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, and Moscow. And what we do is we really get in and talk about the ultra high-end people, the rags-to-riches stories, your entrepreneurs next door. We've had the luxury of interviewing some of the richest people in the world, from Chairman Kwek, who's one of the richest people in Singapore. He used to own the Plaza Hotel in New York. And he came to Singapore, and he's building a St. Regis. He's bringing the ultra-luxury brands to Singapore, where Singapore is doing phenomenal, where they have a lot of casinos being built. And he's not in the casino gaming business, but he's building ultra high-end hotels. To Sheldon Adelson, who's a phenomenal rags-to-riches story, you know, grew up poor and is the third richest person in the country and the fifth in the world. So we've had the luxury of interviewing a lot of people, to even people like Donnie Deutsch, Donald Trump, and a lot of people, comeback stories like Ian Traeger that, you know, built the business, got in trouble, and now is building another, you know, a hotel business. So it's been very exciting.
I can see that as I read your literature here, it says here that not all distribution is created equal. Your living is calculated, it's a distribution model that has a proven advantage over that of other publications. And I think it says that price is no object. It says,
well, that's
that
a good point. Yeah.
Hmm? It says that you distribute to those who live the jet set lifestyle. What does that mean?
Well, basically, you know, every day you hear about Countrywide and, you know, the people that, you know, bought the mortgage or the speculators or the condo. And, you know, that's where, you know, you know when you hear it on the news and read about it, there's a lot of other people that are not affected with this. When they bought homes, they pay cash. I mean, for example, Palm Beach, that's one of the richest communities in the United States. You can't, part of buying homes, you can't get a mortgage. You have to pay 100% cash. And, you know, we partnered with a lot of very high-end vendors from Strategic Air, who's a high-end jet broker, and, you know, they're buying jets and their sales are at all-time records, to Rolls-Royce, to, you know, East Coast Jewelry. That's one of the largest Audemars dealers in the country, and they sell steel watches for $15,000. So that's the world we live in, and that's the world that we highlight.
I can see that. I see your magazine is delivered to people who, as I said before, whose mantra is money is no object. And outliving is for those who demand and have the means to experience the most luxurious lifestyles. And how did you decide this is going to be the lifestyle that you were going to serve? Because it's unique, it's exciting, and it's new. How did you decide this is what you wanted to do?
Basically, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, we're entrepreneurs, my business partner Kamal and myself. And, you know, I've had the fortunate opportunity where I used to work at Morgan Stanley in their private wealth management group. So I dealt with clients with a minimum, you know, net worth of at least $20 million where they could actually invest $20 million in cash. Mm-hmm. And so I always wanted to put something together for these type of people because, you know, these type of people, they want to read about their friends. They want to read about their competitors. They want to read about people that are not in their category, they're always, they're not, what I've realized is the richer you are, the really, really ultra rich, they're not
mm-hmm.
jealous of their competition. They actually respect their competition.
Believe me, Seth, I hear you, because I tend to do the same thing. The smallest account I take is $10 million. For me to hit
mm-hmm.
25 or 50 is not unusual. It's a different, it is a different way of life. You know, where did you come up with the idea of this distribution model? Because as I was reading the your publication and the, and your what you put out for distribution, it is truly a different way of distributing your magazine. How'd you come up with that?
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, that's basically what separates us from the majority of the magazines, you know, our competition. You know, most magazines, you know, they'll say, oh, we're very ultra luxury, and you could get us at the Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
Or the Borders, or, you know, your local grocery store like Safeway or Publix.
Yes.
But unfortunately, what I've realized is most people that, you know, have the wealth that we do business with, they have big homes and they have anywhere from 4 to 10 staff members, from a driver to a maid to a cook and so forth. So
mm-hmm.
what I said is, I said, okay, if you're an advertiser and you come to me and say, okay, Seth, we want to go after the high-end consumer.
Yes.
How do you do it? You have two options. You could either A, be at Publix and hope they come to you, or B, you could go after the client, and you know what? If they're buying Ferraris, you're distributed at the Ferrari dealership. If they're flying on a private jet, you're at the private jet. If they live in a $10 million home, you only mail the $10 million homes. So what happens here is I built a proprietary network distribution that reaches these people on a regional level. So for some advertisers, it's important only to hit L.A., or for some advertisers, it's only important to hit Florida, or some advertisers in Mexico, they're not really interested in hitting people in New York, but they want to hit people in San Francisco and Los Angeles. So we built a very interesting network that actually works, along with a very aggressive proprietary internet strategy. And that's why, you know, we've been able to really build our brand in a very quick manner against competitors, you know, big, large corporations. I think that's what's so exciting about this magazine, is most of our competitors are big corporations with big banks, and, you know, they spend all this money in building a brand, but they're not read by the right people, not respected by the right people, and they go nowhere. And, you know, we've built a brand where we've kind of created it under the radar because we got it to the right people and we've created that buzz.
Do you know, it says here that your magazine is hand-delivered to every resident in the top-flight building in Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale in Miami. Who came up with that idea?
Well, basically, like, for example, is you know, I don't know if you're familiar with, like, Miami or New York, but
Miami.
It's a little bit different. Are you familiar with Miami?
I'm familiar with New York because I've got my training there all 25 years ago, but that was a quarter of a century ago.
Not a problem.
So,
well, in Miami, New York, it's very important. You know, we have relationships with a lot of the high-end buildings.
Yes.
For example, there's a building in Miami called the Continuum.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, let me say the Satay. The Satay goes for $1,500 a square foot. So to get like a little 1,000 square foot apartment, we cost you about $1.5 million. And so what we've done is we've developed partnerships with these top tier buildings. Obviously, there's not hundreds of them. There's not a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But we've developed relationships where they accept our magazines, they love our magazines, and then they make sure that they're distributed in the mail rooms, or, you know, a lot of these places have like a sauna, and so they put them out throughout the building, so then people that are, you know, guests are there, live there, visiting there, have access to our magazine. And you know, anyone that has, you know, a $3 million one-bedroom condo is someone that could afford, you know, expensive watches, you know, expensive cars, and, you know, and so forth.
Well, I notice here that even in New York, yeah, it says here you got there's hundreds of town cars and limousines, you know, which wait to take the hedge fund traders, the investment bankers, and arbitragers to and from their positions on Wall Street. But yet, it's somehow or another you distribute your magazine to these vehicles. How do you do that?
I mean, we do it the old school way. We get you know, our team of I have a distribution team that's
mm-hmm.
you know, properly managed, and we have them. You know, like, for example, tonight there's a big event in New York. It's the fashion show. And what happens is when people go in New York to these events, there's three ways you could go there. You could take the bus or the subway, and while that's, you know, a great way to go to an event, that's not the people that we're going after. You could walk, or you could do what most of our people that we go after is they have a driver.
Okay.
And what happens is when the driver takes them to this event,
yeah,
they sit there and they wait for the people outside of the event. And there's probably about 40 or 50 cars at these events. And what our people do is we go and distribute them to all the limos, and then they put them in the car. So when the guy gets in there, he's like, oh, what's this magazine doing here? And usually they either take it home or they keep it in the car. And then the next morning when the car takes them to work, they're like, oh, this magazine's here. That's cool. And then they take it to work. And see, my whole business model, to be quite frank with you, is just going after the very, very, very rich, the very elite, being in front of their faces and having them read. Because if they could read my magazine, do you know how powerful it is for my advertisers to be able to brand, to get their name known by these type of people? Because these are the people that, you know, are buying, you know, the items that my clients are going after, the $400,000 cars, the $40,000 watches. So that's my strategy in a nutshell.
Wow. You know, I sometimes think about putting something like this together, but it takes such a tremendous amount of concentration and strategy and rethinking and correcting and trying to do all those things to find that kind of individual. Like, it sounds to me it's something you got to think over and over again to make sure you get your business model to
well,
get the kind of client.
There's no computer. There's no computer. There's no software that can help you execute this. It's
absolutely
just old school. It's old school guerrilla marketing, and that's what to me is so exciting. Is like in today's day, it's just, you know what I mean, like who would think, you know, like to do that? But we go there, we get it aggressive, you know. And some people might say, "Oh, what do you mean? I'd rather have my magazine on a newsstand."
Uh-huh.
But you seem like a smart guy. What do you think the chances of me reaching a guy that's worth $100 million are easy? Being at Barnes & Noble or being, you know, in the areas I described to you.
Beth, whatever it takes. Hey, listen, I notice you're also doing red carpet events. What exactly
yes.
do you do with those red carpet events? It looks like you've got those luxury brands like Rolls-Royce and some of the finest of champagnes in the world. Do you host those yourself?
Yeah, we've had the extreme privilege of partnering up with Dom Perignon and Rolls-Royce.
Uh-huh.
We do a lot of very exciting events. In the Super Bowl in Miami, we used one of our friends' houses that was on Star Island. The home's worth about $30 million. And we hosted a very exclusive event with Rolls-Royce and a charity event with Roy and Leah Black, where people paid $10,000 to go to the event. And we had a lot of celebrities from John Elway to Rush Limbaugh to Hulk Hogan to Alex Rodriguez show up at the event. And Rolls-Royce had a great time. They were able to sell three cars at the event, spot unseen, you know. And so we try to do those type of events. We've had a visionary roundtable in New York at the penthouse of the Mandarin. That room goes for about $18,000 a day. And we had
$18,000 a day?
$18,000 a day, yes, sir. And we had the president. Yeah, it was called the Luxury Roundtable. We had the president of Rolls-Royce, Dom Perignon, and a lot of the real estate companies, along with all the presidents, along with the developers. Arthur Zeckendorf, his father or a grandfather, I'm not sure, he donated the whole United Nations building to the United Nations. I mean, so we had a lot of visionaries. So we do a lot of those type events. I don't do events like most magazines where they get a club and they have, like, you know, music and people dance. We do more events that are, you know, that cater to our readers and cater to our friends.
Well, that sounds like it'd be something we'd all like to be invited to, I can tell you. I'm going to step away just for a moment to identify our station. This is Syndicated News. I'm Raymond F. Rivas, Chief Financial Editor, and you can contact me on RaymondRivas@LPL.com, and you're listening to Syndicated News. And now back to our guest, Seth. I do have a couple of other questions for you. When I was thumbing through your magazine, it kind of reminded me when we see the movies and they show the inside of a magazine with a lot of energy going on. People are acting helter-skelter. What's a typical day for you at your magazine?
My typical day is just, you know, basically we have a, you know, a staff of about 50 people, and you know, all day long we're speaking to advertisers, we're speaking to partners. I mean, today I spoke with, you know, the people that run distribution for all the Four Seasons, you know, in the country. I spoke to another person in Dubai, you know, so it's all day long, you know, it's just doing a lot of you know, doing things that, you know, are just not, you know, mainstream. All day long we're just doing different things, new things, you know, things outside the box, really build the brand. I mean, at the end of the day, we're building a brand.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we're trying to do. Just how Rob Report built a great brand, we're trying to build a great brand of, you know, hope to living.
Yes. I got to tell you, it sounds to me at the end of the day when you're just about to go to bed, what do you think about as you're just about going to bed and say, my God, what have I been doing this whole day? Do you ever sit down and lay back in that bed and say, my God, this day has consisted of what? As you're, do you ever just lay in bed and start making telephone calls, or do you go to bed immediately?
Oh, no, I basically, I mean, I go to bed working, so I usually fall asleep and on my laptop computer.
do you really?
Yes.
You're a hard-charging guy.
You know, I mean, just basically.
Give us a little bio about yourself.
Well, I mean, rewinding here, I mean, basically, you know, the media business is not easy. You know, I mean, when I started this business 4 years ago, pretty much 14, 15 people that compete with me are all out of business. And so it's, you know, in today's economy, it's a very tough economy. But I also believe that if you run a good business, it's one of the greatest environments to generate money and to build an empire. I mean, there's no business you can come up with something out of nothing and have an opportunity to build an empire. I mean, it's very powerful for me to go to people and say, look, I could allow you to reach the richest people in L.A.,
wow,
New York, San Francisco, and Florida. I mean, that's a very powerful product.
You said that you had 14 or 50 competitors in the past. What separated you from everybody else?
Well, I don't think you know, the people behind the company basically rolled up their sleeves and understood, you have to A, have great distribution, but B, you have to deliver great content. If you have put the magazine in the hands of someone like Donald Trump,
yes,
you got to basically be able to go to Donald Trump and say, you know what, Donald, I'm going to give you content that's at a different level. How do you deliver that with Donald? Well, let me give you an example. You get a guy like the Sultan of Dubai. He's the largest developer. He's so rich, he basically purchased Donald to be his partner in Dubai. Now, if Donald's sitting there and looking at a magazine and going on his jet, and he sees, you know, a cover of Jessica Simpson, or he sees the Sultan or Sheldon Adelson, Donald, who's my reader, is probably going to pick up my magazine, I would hope, over, you know, reading about Jessica Simpson and you know, who her new boyfriend is. So when you ask that question, is a lot of people, you know, have different business models.
Yes.
I built my business model, and I understood who my clients were. And I take pride that because I understood who my clients were, I'm delivering them a product that brings them value. That's a good experience.
It brings them value. It sounds to me that you're a pretty detailed kind of guy. Is that true?
I mean, you know, my partner and I are very detailed orientated, yes.
I've even read some of your articles when you wrote that article called Family Synergy, when you wrote about the Maloofs.
Yes, which was a great opportunity.
Did you write that yourself? Because it was very well done. I mean, it was.
I'm not going to lie to you. I actually did the interview.
Uh-huh.
And I had the luxury of meeting the Maloofs in Las Vegas at their home and spending a couple of days with them.
Uh-huh.
And then my team helped me put it together.
Well, I noticed, too, that you write a lot of these or participate in a lot of the articles.
I don't really
participate
in a lot of the articles. I only participate where my partner, Kamal, participates in the main cover stories.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a lot of the people we feature, I mean, you know, again, is would not do interviews with any other magazine.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the Maloofs, you'll never find the three Maloof brothers. There's actual four, but you'll never see the brother that owns the Palms Casino and the two brothers that own the Sacramento Kings ever do a photo shoot and interview together.
Mm.
Or Saul Kersner, who owns the Atlantis, his, you know, he's only done three interviews in 5 years. or Issy Sharp, the founder of Four Seasons, last interview was in Time. So when we have these type of people, these visionaries, these billionaires, I mean, these people that everyone would love the opportunity to be able to meet, mm-hmm. we make sure that they understand, we take them seriously, and we put together a story that, in my opinion, I mean, Issy Sharp, the founder of Four Seasons, wrote in a letter that it was the best story he's ever had written about him in his career.
That's very powerful
for the man that founded Four Seasons. I mean, your show's all about luxury. There's nothing more luxury than the Four Seasons.
Oh, absolutely not. It's absolutely fabulous. So how did you, it sounds to me like you're the one who probably came up with the idea of putting this magazine together, creating this brand, and coming up with all the various pieces to put this together. How did you get the idea?
Well, I can't take credit myself. I have a partner. His name is Kamal Hachidani,
uh-huh.
and he's my partner in the magazine, and he's actually a genius. Without him, this magazine would not be where it's at now, and he's a genius. And so, you know, we're both very smart. We both have very strong work ethics. So, you know, we both put this magazine together, and we both have built the brand together.
Did you just kind of sit down one evening and say, let's come up with this magazine, or how did it come about?
I lived in San Francisco, and I was in real estate, and I had a friend that had a magazine in San Francisco, and it was very successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I always read it, and I always looked at it. But it never had articles. It was kind of cheesy, but it was like all about real estate. And so I said, you know what? I realized Miami was a booming area. I said, I should put together a magazine like this. But what happened was my distribution was being read by so many top people that Trump's people, when they opened up in Florida, approached me and said, you know what? We'd like to be in your magazine to promote Donald's name in Florida. I'm like, wow, Donald's people read my magazine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they're like, no, he loves the magazine. And so it was like, you know, I mean, I'm a young publisher. I'm like, wow, Donald. So I got Donald, then I got Philippe Stark, and then all of a sudden I got Ian Schrager, and I got Shaq, and I got all these people, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, now we're getting, you know, we could pretty much get anybody.
How long ago was this?
This was 3 years ago.
And you were in San Francisco. When are you going to bring out the
No, I was in Miami. I was in Miami. I mean, I just told you how I started it, got the idea, and then I started it.
When are you going to come to San Francisco?
I just was in San Francisco. We're launching in November.
Is November of this year or November of next year?
November of this year.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. I keep seeing New York, Miami, Los Angeles. And I kind of see of a light, one for San Francisco, so it'll be in the San Francisco area. What do you mean in the article that you put together that it appears to me that you only go for the most affluent people and in the most affluent areas? Just out of curiosity, tell me about what does your magazine cost if I decided to go on down to one of the airlines, and I see it sitting there. What does your magazine cost?
Well, my magazine's not sold at your bookstores in the normal airports.
Mm-hmm.
We do subscriptions, and we do sell them at like select newsstands, like very VIP newsstands, you know, like the really nice, you know, coffee shops newsstands,
mm-hmm.
and they go for $20 a magazine.
$20 a magazine. Mm-hmm. What part of your magazine do you find is the most read, and do you know why?
I feel that the most read magazine is the feature stories. Everyone reads my magazine for the feature stories, and I believe the aviation stories. Well, you know, a lot of our readers and a lot of our, pretty much our readership is the private aviation client.
Okay. Huh.
You know, so they want to know about, the new G550's out or the new, you know, this new plane's out. So we're always coming up with new ideas.
Listen, what makes you the proudest of your magazine? What are you proudest of the features or the stories that your magazine puts out? What are you proudest of?
I'm just proud of, you know, what we've built. I mean, you know, it's very humbling to have somebody, you know, like Donald Trump, Sheldon Adelson, Saul Kirshner. These are people that, you know, are some of the most successful people in the world. And they're, I mean, Saul Kirshner is probably one of the greatest hotel casino operators in the world. And these are people that don't do interviews, and A, they're readers of my magazine, and B, they want to be in my magazine. I think that's the most exciting part of the magazine is, you know, it's like, okay, you got my attention, so we got the magazine in their hands, but they actually read the magazine and they enjoy the magazine.
I can see. I was reading some of the articles, and almost every story that I saw was interesting. It had a great story about the Maloofs. They had a great story about with a Superman, Superman stand as a man of steel, and I enjoyed that one. And there were so many parts that I did enjoy. But is there anything in the magazine that you especially like?
I mean, I like everything.
Okay. Can I ask, what's the most fascinating part of what you do for a living?
I'm sorry, what?
What is the most fascinating part?
I mean, just the people we meet. Just the people that we meet. I mean, it's very exciting, the people that we get to meet.
Can you expand that a little bit?
Well, I mean, you know, like basically, you know, for myself, I'm an entrepreneur at heart.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's very exciting for me to be able to go and say, okay, I get to meet this person. I get to meet this person. I get to meet this person. I mean, there's just so many spectacular people I've had an opportunity to meet, and you know, as a young entrepreneur, they're gonna change my life forever because, you know, I think the real important part of being successful is that you're humble and you learn from people that have a proven success. And you know, what I've realized is that, you know, people that have become building empires, none of them got it through not taking risks, not challenging themselves. Like, everyone took risks. You know, you look at the Maloofs, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect story to talk about your radio station. Their father was very rich. Father owned basketball team. The father basically was very, very successful. And the father...
The Houston team, the Rockets, I believe?
Yes, he owned the Rockets, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away. And when he passed away, the kids had an opportunity. They could have sold out all... You know, when he passed away, it was in the late 70s or early 80s. Mm-hmm. It was when gas was at a ridiculous amount, much higher than it is, I think, now. We had a huge inflation. And they were in a position where they needed to come up with money, or they could have lost, you know, they could have lost a lot of their business, or they could have sold out and cashed out and had $30 million each, which would is still a tremendous amount of money. And, you know, all 21 to 26 years old, and, you know, basically taking that money, bought, you know, and lived a great lifestyle. But the brothers got together and they said, you know what, our dad built this business. We can't give it up. So they went as a family, met with the creditors and said, look, we need some better terms. We need this. We need this. And they basically got everything. They got everything from their people, and they built a business that was probably worth about, you know, $60, $70, $80 million to a business that's worth a couple of billion dollars. They're the largest shareholders of Wells Fargo. They never sold that stock.
Well,
that to me is very, you know, when you hear those type of stories and you have like stress in your business, mm-hmm. you know, and you just, you know, like I basically, you know what it takes to win. And that's what it's all about, is what it takes to win.
It takes a lot of courage, and it takes a lot of know-how, and it takes smart guys to be able to do something like that, and especially being able to take the risk. If you'll just excuse me for a second, Seth, I have to identify our radio.
No problem.
This is Syndicated News. I'm Raymond F. Rivas, Chief Financial Editor, and you're listening to Syndicated News. And now back to our guest, Seth. Seth, did you ever feel when a magazine got going that maybe it may not make it?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I mean, you know, that's always out there. But I'm just in a position. Or I don't think like that.
How do you think?
I mean, I think anything I do, I'll be successful at. And, you know, I mean, I try not to think about being, I mean, I don't try to think about those things, because if I think about those things, then I'm not going to win.
So in other words, you're saying, now, look, I know I'm here now. How do I get over there to continue to be a successful
Yeah, I mean, if you know, if I go, you know, I mean, like, I'm an entrepreneur. So anytime you put your money in anything, you know, there's risk. I mean, if you buy, I mean, today, you know, I have a friend, they bought stock. You buy stock, there's a risk that you could lose your money. And so, you know, like, but people don't ever want to blame themselves. And so, you know, to be quite frank with you, I mean, I wouldn't put my money into something unless I really believed I could make, you know, I could build something. I wouldn't do all that unless I was confident in my abilities.
I hear that common statement with people who are very successful in that they don't know the word lose. It's more like,
yeah.
You know, when something goes wrong, it's greater opportunity. And when there's greater opportunity available, they find a way. There is not a no in their vocabulary. How do I make it into an opportunity? Is that how you think?
I mean, yeah. I mean, look, I mean, it's all about humility. I mean, I went from, you know, basically working in Morgan Stanley, a very elite group, calling up people that, you know, are worth $100 million and say, look, I'd like you to give me $50 million of your dollars, to calling people up when I started the magazine and saying, look, will you buy an ad for $1,500? You know, but I never thought I was too good. I believed that if people would buy ads, I could help them promote their name. And I offered a lot of value to my advertisers. And, you know, so it's like mindset, to answer your question. I mean, you know, like, I think that's the key to success is, like, I didn't go and hire somebody to do it. I did it myself. And now I built a brand, and now we have people selling, and I don't really sell as much. But, like, you know, I mean, when you go from, you know, going to large companies and pitching, you know, a $100 million deal where your commission's $1 million minimum, and you're calling a person and saying, look, buy an ad, you know, for this price, you know, I think it's an interesting mind, it's a humbling mindset.
How has your life changed?
You know, my life's changed, which is basically, we travel, you know, when you're building a company like this right now, I don't have a lot of stability in my life. And what I mean by that is I'm always in, you know, I have offices all over the country, so I have to be in different cities on a consistent basis. So really, you know, I mean, I'm opening up new markets, so, you know, I have to be, you know, traveling a tremendous amount. So normally you would just sit, you know, and be in an area and, like, not do everything, but, like, I'm in Miami for a couple of weeks now, I'll go to New York for a couple of weeks. So it's like every, you know, I'm just there and dealing with, you know, that market and always traveling on a consistent basis along with my partner.
Do you find it sometimes a little bit draining? If you just the traveling and the everyday, all the decisions you have to make, you ever just feel like you'd like to just maybe rest for a couple of hours and be by yourself?
To be honest with you, not really. I mean, I can I understand, you know, like that, but like the people that I study with, you know, I mean, they own more corporations and they're traveling 10 times more than me. So, I mean, like, you know, when you always think you're working hard, there's always someone out there that's working harder than you.
When you're talking to somebody just across the way at some dinner table and you're telling me that you are the CEO of this company, how do they react when you tell them what you do?
Well, I mean, a lot of times people are surprised because, you know, they would think, you know, it's such a prestigious magazine, we'd be like, you know, I'd have a little more gray hair.
Just out of curiosity, how old are you, more or less?
I'm in my early 30s.
Okay. Yeah, because you sound like you're a very young guy.
Huh?
I said you sound like you're a very young guy. I mean, full of, you know, just ideas and energy, but you sound like you're very young. So.
No, no.
30s is young.
Well, yeah, and so a lot of people are like, oh, are you the owner? Or are you just like, you know, the sales manager? You know what I mean? Like some people like to say they're the owners and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm like, no, it's, you know, my partner Kamal and myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing is like I eat, drink, and sleep my clients, and I just follow where they're at. And so, you know what I mean? Like I just know where they're at. And so, you know, like when you know where your clients are, you got to be in front of them. And so if you're always in front of them, right now is advertisers, the economy, as much as people think it's bad, it's still very good. There's a tremendous amount of wealth out there. And there's a lot of people that will do anything to reach those consumers. And there's a lot of magazines now that say, oh, we're luxury, but they're not luxury. And, I'll tell anybody, where do you think you got a chance of getting a guy that can afford your product? Coming to you at Barnes & Noble at the mall or going on his private jet going out of town for the weekend?
So what do you think of these other magazines that claim to be, targeting the rich? What's your opinion on?
I know what magazines my friends read. And so, there's only, most of them, what I classify is most of them go after what I classify as the pretenders, and we go after the contenders. Huh?
Yeah, because I don't see any other magazine like yours at all. I mean, it stays a consistency, and the consistency is it hitting the upper wealth. Yeah, and it seems to me. Am I misreading it? Am I correct? Is that what you do? You only go after the ultra wealthy.
Look, I have opportunities to do stories like, Paris Hilton, those type of stories are like, oh, it'd be great, but that's just not my readers. So you know what I mean? I never like cut corners, and I never deliver editorial that brings no value to my readers.
The editorial does not bring value to your readers?
No, I said I'm not going to bring editorial that's not going to bring value to my readers.
Okay, how have your articles changed from the time that you started to today? Has there been a change to it, or have you kept it?
Oh, there's been a major change. I mean, again is. Like right now is when we started out, we do interviews. Most of these guys and girls that do these big interviews, they don't really like people. A lot of these magazines, they just interview the PR people and get pictures online. And so now we, people really like our magazine where we do full-on photo shoots at their home. I mean, it's amazing to be able to go into Don King's home. I mean, he lives on, 100 acres on the water. I mean, his home's worth at least $150 million. That's his home. That's not what he's worth, homes, stock, everything. That's just his home.
So what are advisors, what are the people who do the advertising? Do they look at you with a funny eye that you're delivering this kind of clientele to me, or are you established enough whereby they say, yes, I want to advertise in your magazine? What are you seeing?
Basically, right now is, what happened is this is a results-oriented business. So at first people had the funny eye, but, we're getting major results. And if you go look at my magazine, I could sell triple the amount of ads, but you're not going to see products that, don't fit in there. I'm the only guy that turns down ads. You know what I mean? There's people that go to me and be like, who do you think you are to turn down ads? And it's all about building a product. I look at like a lot of famous nightclubs, that someone might come in and be able to, and have, a black card and spend a lot of money that night, but they might not fit the club's vibe. And, they would rather not let that person in to continue to keep the integrity of the club. And that's how our magazine is we keep the integrity. A lot of our advertisers, sometimes we do editorial on them, but who doesn't want to read about the new Ritz-Carlton development building in Hawaii or the new Rolls-Royce coming out or the new $200,000 Panerai watch? That's what our people want to read about, and that's like what, that's what we're that's the product I deliver. So
what
I never cut corners.
What about internationally? For example, I saw you had Dubai in here, but do you go beyond Dubai, like towards England to the Mediterranean, or is that going to be in your
No,
life?
We do Dubai, we do the Middle East, we did a London issue, we do Russia, we did the Caribbean. Caribbean, we're very popular in the Caribbean. We featured, we had people from Turks and Caicos to Jamaica to St. Barts. So we're really big in the Caribbean. And, we've done a Mexico issue. So, you know, basically we're distributed in private jet airports around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Saudi Arabia, Dubai, Moscow, they get our magazine.
Oh, my gosh. So what's next for the magazine? What do you envision? If I could be, if this was the year 2018, you know, 10 years from today, and you could look back and say, well, gee, since 2008 to 2018, there are some things that we wanted to hit. And I'm very proud of the fact that, in, you know, we've accomplished a lot of things that we wanted to do in that 10-year time period. If this was the year 2018, what would you like to say about your magazine that it accomplished or things that you want to do?
I mean, I believe my magazine, you know, what our goal is to build a media company, magazine, website. I mean, understand, we get a tremendous amount of hits, over 3,000 hits a day on our website. So, you know, we're not just a magazine, we're a media company. You know, we're looking to build a brand similar to how Rob Report built a brand. There's not an Architect Digest built a brand. Our friends at Niche Media, Jason Bin, who's a genius, built a brand. There's not a lot of people out there that can honestly say that in this tough business.
Tell me more about the that you're trying to build a media. What do you mean? Because I think of you, I know it's not a very sophisticated way of looking at you, but I think of you primarily as a producer of a magazine that is only for the ultra rich. But tell me what else you're doing besides that. I did not know.
I mean, basically, we have a very aggressive web strategy.
Okay.
We're pretty much we spend a tremendous amount of money on our Google AdWords strategy. So, like, for example, if you Google a lot of the people in our magazine, they appear at the top. So, you know, you Google all, you know, like Issy Sharp, founder of Four Seasons, or Donnie Deutsch, or Russell Simmons, or Donna Karen, their stories appear at the top. And so people that might not be able to get our magazine, they could read online. And we've created a blog online where we get anywhere from 5 to 6 stories a day. So we've created, you know, a media company where people are coming on through our website or magazine to understand what the latest trends are, you know, for the ultra, ultra rich.
Why don't you give us, would you mind giving us the website? Give us how to get on that?
It's www.hoteliving.com.
Oh,
and it's an amazing site. You go right on there, and you're able to go and pick the market you want to read and read all the past issues. And it's a great experience. And on there also we have a blog, so every day we have an estate of the day, a beautiful home that's selling around the world. We have all news stories, and, you know, we have, like, famous celebrities that are selling their homes, how much they're worth. So we have a lot of really exciting and cool things.
So, in other words, you're saying that on this media that you want to that you're involved in and you're creating, in 10 years from today, you want to look back and say we developed the media even more than we had envisioned at the very beginning. What would you like the media to ultimately do for you, besides the magazine and the website? What do you envision that you're ultimately going to be doing?
I mean, look, I mean, I'm an entrepreneur. I mean, I want to build a company, you know, and make a lot of money. And the only way
you
make the money is, huh?
It sounds like you're getting there.
I mean, you know, you look at, like, Mr. Murdoch. Why is he buying MySpace? Why is he doing all this? Because he wants to build an empire. And, you know, my partner and I, we want to build a similar empire. One of the nice things about our business, too, is the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I can't go into too much detail, but we did an interview on a very big brand, hotel brand.
Uh-huh.
And one of our good friends, who's a developer, was building a development internationally and said, look, I'd like to have access to that hotel brand and use their name for my development. And so we put that meeting together, and, you know, the business deal happened out of that way. And so it's very exciting to be able to put relationships with friends of the magazines. And, you know, these are going to be relationships and business partners of ours for the rest of our lives.
So So it sounds to me that you're using this as a platform to go ahead and build your business even at a greater scale. And in addition,
the media
is going to lead you to other ventures, other lucrative ventures that may or may not be related to it. But again, when you put it all together, they're all going to be working together as one combine. And
well, one of the nice things about our product is, you know, the people we have, we built a very good brand where people respect and trust us. So when I put the two people together, it's not like I'm a salesman or a commissioned salesperson. I'm just putting two people together and hoping a deal does. My name's out there, and both of these people are worth at least $100 million, have 20 years of experience, and to be able to put a deal together between both of these people speaks about, you know, the respect our magazine has that they would even meet with each other.
Well, it makes so much sense. Just excuse me for a second. Let me identify the radio station. This is Syndicated News, and I'm Raymond F. Rivas, Chief Financial Editor. And you can contact me on my email if you have any questions regarding this this telecast tonight. Just go to email raymond.rivas@lpl.com. And again, you're listening to syndicatednews.net. And back to our guest, Seth. This is truly a unique conversation we're having tonight. I'll tell you, it seems to me that you got an eagle eye for seeing how you can take your brand business and continue to enlarge it to a level that I suspect you probably will never even dreamed of even today. So you don't know exactly how you're going to get there, except to be able to think and develop and put the whole thing together so your life is really a rich life. Is that what you're aiming for?
Well, I really wouldn't say rich on financial. I'm saying just rich on success. I mean, there's nothing like, you know, going into, you know, flying on a private jet and landing into Teterboro and seeing your magazines there. Or there's nothing like going into a place and seeing your magazines in the rooms, you know, in the hotel rooms.
What did you think when you did see that the first time?
I mean, at the first it was exciting, you know, when I'd see people reading my magazine, you know, you're like, wow, because at the beginning you think maybe you and your dad and your mom and your, like, good friends and your girlfriend are the only one that read it. But when
you start seeing it,
I mean, now it's great, you know, a lot of places I go, I see people, you know, have it. I mean, we live in Miami, so we spend a lot of time at the beach and so forth. So a lot of the beaches that we go to, like, are very high-end beach clubs. So it's neat to be able to see people there, you know, with their magazines. They have Vogue, they have Architect Digest, and they have Hope Living, you know. I mean, it's exciting to see that.
You ever say, hey, that's my magazine. That's my magazine you've got in your hand.
I mean, it matters, but I mean, at first now, but no, I mean, I try to be very humble. I don't like to be, you know, oh, this is my magazine, like, you know, this business. One of the things I think successful is, you know, I believe, like, I'm a promoter, so I believe when I do a magazine, it's not about me, it's about the people that I write about. A lot of your competitors, you read, you see pictures of them everywhere, and it's all about them, but it's not really about us, it's about the people that, you know, we interview.
So how would you summarize success for Seth?
I mean, it's not about success for Seth. I mean, it's not about me right now. I mean, it's my business. So my business is still very humble.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have a long way to go. So I don't really look at his success in Seth. I mean, I look at a success in my business. You know, it's very exciting to see people come aboard, you know, out of college, work for you, be here for a couple of years, you know, buy a home, buy cars, you know, and that to me is what success is all about, is when it's not really about you. I mean, I really believe it's true when you think about you, because that's the first way of disaster. It's all about success is basically having people that, you know, have families and people depend on you and people have incomes and basically build careers through your company. And that to me is what success is all about, taking someone out of college as an intern and now they're becoming an editor and being with my magazine for, you know, 2 years. That to me is what it's all about, to be quite frank with you, when I say success for Seth.
Well, I noticed that when I tried to Google you or try to find something about you, there's very little about you. And so therefore, as I hear you tonight, I understand as to where you're coming from it's let me summarize what I'm hearing about what success is for you. What you're doing is that you're providing a living not only for yourself but other people around you, and you're making a difference for the folks who are part of your organization. You're building a business whereby you do something for other people, and that's what makes it a success. The success, to me, it sounds for you, is the inner peace of knowing you're doing something greater than yourself. And the money it's
well, that's
making...
Exactly, that's thing. A very good point.
And the money itself is important, but after a while, it's only money. What do you do with it?
Well, when you started the business, you know, at the end of the day, is, you know, money doesn't grow on trees where I come from. So when you started a business, you know, like what happened is you know, you go, I don't care who you are, when you have any startup business, you go through financial troubles.
Yes.
And I always had to make sure I paid my employees. And there are times where, you know, financially we would not have money in the account, and I could either go to Las Vegas or Los Angeles for the weekend and have fun, or B, I could put the money in to cover my payroll, my employees. And, you know, it's neat to know my art director has been with me for 3 years. My editor has been with me for 2 years. You know, most of my top people have been with me for a long time. And so, you know, my partner and I had to make a lot of sacrifices and continue to do, you know, that was for other people. But, you know, that to me is what it's all about sometimes.
Would you ever recommend to someone who has an interest in starting their own magazine, would you ever tell them that it's an easy thing to do, or something that is very difficult and takes a lot of thought? Or if someone decided that this is what they wanted to do themselves or go into another business, what would you tell them?
Well, I mean, if they want to compete with me, I'd tell them no. I'd give them every reason not to. But a person one time told me, they said, you know, the quickest way for a multimillionaire to become a millionaire is to get into the magazine business.
I see. All right. Well, it's been fun talking with you. Now, before we close, we're going to close in about 3 or 4 minutes. Is there anything that you wanted to add? Besides the conversation we've had, is there something that you
I think I appreciate the opportunity to be able to, you know, spend time with you to share the success of our magazine, but, you know, and also to kind of share with you the vision, because it's going to be very exciting when we revisit this a year from now, a year and a half from now, 2 years from now, and 5 years from now, to see, you know what my expectations were and where I went. And so the fact of the matter is, you know, I think we discussed everything that's of importance, and, you know, hopefully for the people that are listening, it brought value to them, and hopefully they'll be able to go on my website, read the magazine, and be able to read daily the stories, and to be, you know, it could benefit them.
Would you do me a favor, would you give me your website again? So that people can log in.
Yeah, no problem. It's first of all, it's the French word haute, and it's haute living living.com. www.haute.com.
Before I let you go, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Would you mind talking about your partner just a little bit at the beginning of the broadcast? You started to talk about him, and I didn't mean to cut you off. Would you be very kind and give us a little bit about your partner? You said he was a genius. He was truly unusual. Can you elaborate on who your partner is and so forth?
My partner's name is Kamal Hachadani. He was in, you know, the venture capitalist business before we got involved with the magazine. Him and I actually went to college together, so we knew each other from college at Boston University. And where my weaknesses are is his strengths, and where his weaknesses are, it's my strengths. So we complement each other. There's no jealousy between each other. And, you know, I have a true amount of respect. I think, like, basically, you know, you have a good partner when things are tough and, you know, you don't fight. You just basically grind it out. And, you know, as an entrepreneur in the magazine business, well, you see Beautiful Magazine and all that, we're self-financed and we're opening up markets, self-finance. So it's not like, you know, we're spending our money, you know, we're investing our money into our business and building that empire.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, you know, he's great.
So you've known him since college at Boston University?
Yeah, Boston University, and he's been very successful, and he's, a true visionary. He's an internet, marketing genius, and, he's a relationship very, very strong in relationships, and I'll be very honest with you, without him, our magazine would not be successful.
Well, it sounds to me it's
So we need each other, we've been very lucky to be able to partner up and to build this together.
my gosh, it sounds like a great tribute to your partner. I'm sure he probably feels exactly the same about you. It sounds like you really are real partners. And
Yeah, I mean,
that's
look,
great.
he's yeah.
It sounds to me like, it sounds to me just by hearing you that he just has your utter respect. And that's all you
Oh,
can
of
ask
course.
of a partner. Well, before we close, and close in about 1 minute, I want to thank you very much for your kindness, for being on the show this evening. And it's truly been an experience. It's been a tremendous experience because it sounds like you're the kind of guy that is going to be a tremendous success in life and is a tremendous success in life, and you're bound for greater things in the future. And it's been a true pleasure speaking with you, I can assure you. And I don't say that to everybody, but in your case, it really has been fun talking with you. And thank you for being my guest this evening. And I want to thank you for the nice chat.
No
Thank you
problem.
very much,
Thank you
Seth.
too. And good luck
Bye.
with your radio and everything. Good luck with you guys.
Thank you very much, Seth.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Raymond Rivas at Syndicated News. I'm the Chief Financial Officer. The name of my firm is Atherton Wealth Planning. You can contact me on my email address at raymond.rivas@lpl.com. You're listening to Syndicated News Net, and for a few moments, we're going to listen to some music before my next guest, Mr. Robert Koenigsberg of SleepQuest in the city of San Carlos, California. So in just about 2 or 3 minutes, I'll be back with my special guest. Thank you. Thank you.